Okay, welcome back to the Raise Up Podcast. I'm Athena.
I'm Charlie.
And we're here to just share our lives with you guys, hopefully some business sense that will help you out and just tell you what's going on with us lately. So
Lots of things.
So if you weren't able to get over and listen to episode 2, we were talking about AMT and some of the things that we love about that little business that we have.
Alaska Medical Transport.
Yes, so please go back and listen. Today, we just wanted to catch you up on some of the stuff that we've been up to. So, Charlie, why don't you tell them about our little road trip and adventure that we went on?
One hell of a road trip. So, excuse me, we flew to Las Vegas, which we got diverted to Ontario, California, which I didn't know there was an Ontario, California, and there was some pretty big winds there, so we couldn't land in Las Vegas, and we were able to get to Ontario, rent a car, and drive 3.5 hours to Las Vegas just in time to see our concert. We went and saw Chicago live in concert. It was great. If you haven't seen it, lots of horns, lots of things. So that was kind of fun. And then we were able to start our show, the CD Chauffeur Driven.
Yeah, the Chauffeur Driven NLA. So for those of you who have never heard, that is our main industry trade show and industry magazine for passenger ground transportation, particularly luxury passenger ground transportation, which I'm on the education committee for that. So I get to help plan education workshops for that show, and I love it. It's one of my favorite things to do. So it was busy, but it's just I love that organization. We've been a member for many years.
NLA stands for National Limousine Association, so it's a big deal. It's a big group. Really get involved with our different peers and different people in the group that can share some knowledge.
You know, what has it meant for you, Charlie, to be a part of that group?
Well, I mean, it's an organization. It's a, you know, everybody's there to seem like to help each other. So it's nice to be able to have other fellow like people, especially being in Alaska. We don't have a lot of different people that we can bounce ideas off here in town with. So it's important for us to be able to be part of that association. So we get some influence, we get some ideas and some other things that we can help with too.
Yeah. And for those of you who aren't a part of an association that is in your industry or in your line of business, like I would encourage you to go out and find, there is likely an association for your industry. This association is more than just a network of peers who are trying to help each other. There are nationwide discounts that come along with being a part of an association. Our biggest discount is probably being a part of the healthcare plan that's attached to this.
Saved us a lot of money.
Like 40%.
So, I mean, that's one of the good ones there, too. Plus, when you get together at these associations, you have all your vendors there. You have all your insurance brokers. You have, we've bought a bus wash from there. I mean, we've purchased a lot of different things, vehicles. There's always vehicles on demand. There's limos there. There's motor coaches, SUVs, vans, the new and latest greatest.
Yes. And so it's something that if you're not a part of, you should just figure it out, because the education too, that's the other piece, is you just don't know what you don't know. So
yeah, we get a lot of key speakers. We get a lot of people that get up there, and a lot of people from the industry really give out their heart and soul to talk about what's working for them in their business. And there's a lot of good ideas that we don't have that they do that we can get nuggets off it. Nuggets is our new word when we go get things. Let's get a nugget.
Yes. Okay. Yes, Beaver Nuggets in particular. We're Bucky fans. So
Athena likes Bucky's.
I love Bucky's.
Bucky's got good beef jerky.
Okay, so I'm going to just go off on a rabbit trail for just a quick second here. So, Charlie, tell if you guys have never heard of Bucky's before, tell them about Bucky's.
Well, if you haven't been to a Bucky's, it is a gas station like Costco on steroids. It is, I think the last Bucky's we were looking up was 80,000 square feet of store space, everything from clothes to barbecuers to the last Bucky's we went to had a deer stand that was for sale outside and it had this deer stand with windows and shooting holes and barbecuers right and big noodles. Right next
to the ice machines.
The 17 ice machines outside, the 120 gas pumps that they have out front, and the impeccable bathrooms and cleanliness and the food and everything's amazing. They have a beef jerky aisle that's probably 30, 40 feet long with fresh beef jerky into it from all different, like 10 different flavors there. And you can sample it, you can buy it. It's only $29.99 a pound, which is very cheap. They have everything. Brisket that's made freshly there. Pulled pork. Athena liked the 1 foot hot dog on a stick. So she, that was her go-to. So, I mean, you look at the different things that were there and it's pretty incredible. And then you go buy alcohol and then they have coolers and then they had hot sauces and it's just pretty incredible. So I think we visited 5 Buc-ee's in the 4 or 5 days that we were in that region down through Texas and down through New Orleans all the way to Florida. The last one we saw was in Florida. So, yeah, Buc-ee's is good.
Okay, so you can imagine you walk into this huge convenience store and it's really well lit. There's bright colors and the assistant manager is handing you a sticker and saying, "Welcome to Buc-ee's." And I don't know about you, but anytime when you go back in the day when you were a kid and somebody gave you a sticker, it was a good thing. It was like you did a good job or they're praising you in some way. And so it's like you just get a sticker for showing up. And then you go over and they've got all these cute little beavers, stuffed beavers, and there's the Buc-ee beaver theme on all these like merchandise. And you go over and then they've got like a fudge bar and they've got a jerky bar and they're cutting up brisket sandwiches. Like it is like this amusement park of convenience stores and the employees are happy.
So I posted on Facebook that we were at Buc-ee's and a friend of ours, Monica Lubeck, I'll throw a name out there, texted me and says, "Charlie, will you pick me up a sweatshirt from Buc-ee's? Been wanting one for a long time." So as we were coming back to Buc-ee's, we stopped by and got her a sweatshirt and a t-shirt. So she is all set up. We haven't got it to her yet, but we have picked it up for her.
Yes, yes. So it's just, if you get a chance to just experience Buc-ee's, it is like everything in a gas station could be.
You roll in at 3:30 in the morning, or I mean, excuse me, at 12:30 at night, and there's 300 people at the gas station. It is crazy.
Hanging out. Slushy bar that is like, it's huge. It's just a fun place. The energy is just so nice.
I think what was even better in that was seeing Buc-ee signs 100 miles from the Buc-ee's, seeing you could hold it, and then there would be 30 or 40 or 50 signs between there, and we're talking the big billboard signs around the highway, and they would say, "The next Buc-ee is 67 miles. I know you can taste the fudge from here." I mean, they just had these great slogan lines. It was just great. And you kept looking for them. And you're like, "Have we passed it yet?" Because, shoot, we had to pee. But we didn't want to go pee at Chevron because Chevron didn't have Buc-ee's, you know. So anyways, it was a great, great, great place.
Yes. Yes. So we're going to get
no
a picture.
No 18-wheelers. They have signs all the way around it says no 18-wheelers.
Well.
Motorhomes are welcome. Just no 18-wheelers.
So anyway, well, now I'm off the Buc-ee tangent, and so we're going to get back on track to, we made it to a Buc-ee's, we finished the NLA show, and then
we saw some concerts. We saw 2 concerts. We saw Chicago, and then we saw who else in Las Vegas?
Billy Joel.
No, in Las Vegas.
Oh, Carrie Underwood.
Carrie Underwood. Way good concert.
Yep.
Then we flew to supposedly San Antonio, but we got diverted again to Dallas because of weather. And then had to drive to San Antonio. Then we picked up our motorhome.
So back to...
We left our motorhome back there in October. We did a big road trip with the family and drove down to San Antonio where Athena had another conference and we had the kids. And then we dropped it off there. So we picked it up from there and relocated it down to Florida. So we're looking for the next adventure going that way too.
Yep. So RV's parked in Florida now, but along the way we stopped and visited some industry friends.
Oh, then we went to Dallas too and saw Billy Joel and Stevie Nicks.
Yep. Yep.
That was fun. Also in Dallas, AT&T Stadium.
Yes. How many people were in that stadium? It was
47,000 people were at that concert.
I don't think I've ever been in a room with that many humans before that concert.
Have you ever seen the movie Cars? And it showed them in the racetrack and it looked like all those cartoon figures with like the 16 floors of theirs. That's what it looked like. I mean, everything was just absolutely packed and they killed it. They did good for 74 and 75. For Stevie Nicks, and I think Stevie Nicks was 75 and Billy Joel was 74. Yeah. They put on one hell of a concert.
Yeah, it was like almost 3 hours. It was long.
It was 4.5 hours.
Really?
Yeah, and we left and they were still playing.
Yeah, well, we're getting older, so we need our beauty sleep.
Oh, I need all of it. So anyways, yeah, we left there and then went and saw some industry friends and went down to Houston, saw our boy Renzo. And then we went down to New Orleans and saw Eric and Alicia and had dinner with them. And then cruised right on down to Florida and saw Rick and Grajna. And they were gracious enough to put our motorhome away for us and put it up into a spot. And now we're good to go.
Yeah, and so then we hop on a plane and we fly to Austin, which, by the way, I don't think I have ever had food like I've had in Austin. I would go back there just to eat. It was so good. I don't do gluten or dairy, and to be able to just go in a restaurant and order whatever I want on the menu and it all be like gluten-free and dairy-free. And
I have no idea what I ate. I ordered tacos, and I don't know if it came out as taco meat or what. But
it was
when I found out it was
tacos.
All vegetarian, I was like, what the heck am I eating here?
Yes, so it was really easy to eat cleaner food. And gosh, you just feel great because you're eating clean food and you're walking around and it's warm outside. And us Alaskans, we really appreciate the fact that we can walk outside and be warm. So,
you know what I liked about it more is the music, the vibe there. We were, we got through, thank God, we found a barbecue joint and we were able to get some real meat and food. But as we walked out, there was a guy in an old mail truck that he had cut out the side. If you see my Facebook post, you can see it. He cut out the side of there and made a little stage on it and it flipped open and out. And he had an amazing voice. Do you remember his name?
Eugene.
Eugene has a...
very creative.
Yes. And he had a little puppy with him, so which that even made it better. You get to pet the puppy at the end of it. But Eugene did great music, had a great voice, and he sat on a corner in his mail truck, and he had his guitar box out and accepted gratuities and tips. And I think we tipped him $20, and we sat there for probably half an hour and listened to just great music like I was at a concert. So it was lots of great music up and down the strips. Paramount had a big thing going on. What was it called? South Southwest. They had
something
going on.
Yeah,
they had something going on there. So the whole town was jamming and packed. And they have a good vibe there. It really reminded me a little bit of Nashville, just not all the lights and the glittery-ish of it.
Not as many bachelorettes running around.
Yeah, they didn't have fire trucks with, you know, girls on the back of them and buses. And they did have the beer patrol bicycle guys that were screaming and trying to do high fives and everything like that. But it was a good vibe. Good town. It seemed like really energetic people and nice.
Yeah.
I didn't have the same food love as Athena did with that place. But you know what? She doesn't get excited about food too often. So.
Well, yeah, because it's just like fuel. And then, you know, I have all these like options that I don't have to try to trip over all these exceptions. So I was just like, oh, man.
If you haven't gone to lunch or dinner with my wife, if you haven't seen that movie, Harry Met Sally, that's kind of the whole thing where she orders everything but the side on the side. And can you take this off? So sometimes I'm sitting there just like, then they look at me and I'm like, I'll just take it the way it comes. So
I'm just here to make him look good in every way. So he looks less complicated and easygoing.
I need
and
all the help I can get.
So it's I'm doing my job if I'm doing that.
Amen.
Well,
so then we went to the conference.
Yep.
Woohoo.
It's an inner circle group. So it's a little bit larger of a group than we usually that we have been a part of before. So it's really important for Charlie and I to get outside influence in our business operations. And we know that if we don't go outside of our bubble, then new ideas sometimes don't come in. And so that is probably one of the biggest practices that we have put forward in our business operation is as we got older and we got bigger, we would join different groups. We would get involved in different organizations and listen and learn. And this new group that we joined, it is a completely different perspective on business operation. Before, our other groups were more like running numbers, benchmarking, and this is more of a, where are you? Where are you creating the bottleneck? Where in yourself, maybe there's some blocks that you have that are creating you from hitting that next or breaking the glass ceiling to the next level. And so I think for myself in particular, as time has gone by, I've realized that there are things, limiting beliefs or whatever that have come up over time that prevent me from like moving to these next levels. And once I start to unpack them, it's like stuff just flows freely. And so he's kind of indulging me with this group right now, and I really appreciate that.
No, I walked in with open eyes, so I learned a lot. I got a lot out of it, and you're kind of right. You know, I mean, if you're not right, how's your company right? And if you're not right, how are your employees right? So it really comes to a point that you have to get yourself in a mental space that you're willing to absorb and take in and learn things. And, you know, and we're, I like to think we're all professionals in our field because we spent so much time into it, but we take so much time in running it and taking care of it and feeding it instead of really nurturing it. And nurturing it is, I think, I feel like it's nurturing ourselves so we're better, so we can make our employees better and we can make our company better. So anyways, I felt like it was a lot of that. And there was some woohoo shit in there too, excuse me. But, you know, you take the nuggets out of it. And we got 80% of the nuggets out of it. So I thought it was really good. I'm looking forward to the next one that we're getting ready to go do. If we chose, we could go to one every month because it seems like there's something going on every month. Yeah. But unfortunately, we're coming into our busy part of the season. So we're going to get a few more in before the busy season, but probably take advantage a lot more during the wintertime season.
Yeah. You know, and what you said is so true, because if we're not right, then the company, we don't work together as effectively as we could. And then that reflects upon the operation. Then it also reflects upon our family, and it does so much if we can take the time out to get where we need to be within ourselves. And I'm not just talking about from a business partner standpoint. I'm also talking about like individually,
personally too.
Yes.
It's my analogy. I always have to think of things how it's an analogy, but it's like, if you like salad dressing and you have oil and you have vinegar, if you drink one of them, one or the other, it's not so great. But when you mix it up together, it makes a great salad dressing. But when you only have oil, you only have vinegar, you're only getting one or the other. So I feel like we've mixed it up together in this, and now we have a great salad dressing. I'm sorry that it's the only way I can think of things, that sometimes I have to relate it to something else.
I like it. Yeah. I like it.
So the conference was great. Met a lot of cool people, a lot of interesting people, a lot of nuggets that we got to take away, and we helped give a few nuggets too. Yeah. So it was interesting.
That's the other part of being a part of an association or joining a small group or a larger group in business, is that you are able to make deposits and then also receive as well. And so there were people that we were able to share some of our information with that I believe we bless them in that.
100%. You know, and you think you're by yourself on these situations, and nobody else is in the same situation you are. But when we were there, so many people had the same problems that we do as business owners, relationships, everything else like that, that they were all there for the same reason, looking at each other saying, wow, man, we're not as bad as they are, you know? And then they were looking at us and, holy shit, we're not as bad as they are, you know? So everybody's in the same boat, you know? I mean, There's not a rule book. There's nothing here that tells you how to raise kids or run a business or things. There is books. There is some other things. But, you know, we are on the job training, you know. So yeah. I feel like that we're getting more educated. And as we come back and we get more educated, we can educate our employees and our clients and our kids and our friends. And we share. We love to share. That's why we're doing this. I mean, we're sharing because we want to make sure that we're getting out what we are given. And, you know, you get blessings from it.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the greatest parts of like being in this, like giving and getting and giving and getting, is it's like, as soon as you get new stuff, you can just give it away. And, you know, I feel like that is really the integrity piece of Raise Up, is it's like being true to yourself. It's not just about being honest and being a good human, because that could be relative to like what I think is a good human. You may think, well, that's not a bad or a good human. It's just, it's a human. So
it's all perspective.
Yeah. And so it's like, when I think about being in my own integrity, like the person that I am, I want to have congruency in every area of my life. I want the same person that you see on this podcast to be that shows up everywhere. I'm the same lady that is talking to her children. I'm the same person at work. I'm the same, because I want to be my most authentic self, because that's when I'm the happiest, when I function at my highest level. And when, and it's like, I feel like at times, especially younger, when I was younger, I was much more guarded. And I guess we're just ready to let it all hang out and to help as many people as we can as we come along this journey.
Well, you know, it just comes down to the point that, you know, you just got to say WTF, you know, just let's get it out there. Let's help people and do stuff like that. Because we were fortunate. There's a lot of people that helped us as we were going along. There was a lot of people that stood by us and really worked with us. And those people really made a difference in our lives. So we want to give back too. So,
yeah.
Sometimes we give unsolicited advice and then they're just like, okay, we're good. And then some people are like, geez, I would have really never known that you were going through those problems because you guys look like you really have your shit together. And sometimes we do and sometimes we don't.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know what? I think that we're doing a really good job of kind of laughing through the times.
We are now. We are now. A few shed of tears here and there too, but no, I mean, everything's life is good right now. So, I mean, and you know, it's just perspective again, you know, it's not focused on what you don't have. It's focused on what you have. Yeah. So I really learned that in the group with Danny. Danny was a little bit, very open about everything about his life and, you know, and then he had nothing to hide. So it was really interesting, the way that he came about things and, you know, it was a good thing.
Yeah. I think it's pretty refreshing to see people who are just willing to be an open book if it will help someone else. It's something.
Breathing treatments.
Yes. They were teaching you how to breathe to keep you calm.
Some tribal music in the background. I kept looking up. I was like, what is going on here?
That was the woohoo part that Charlie mentioned. The woohoos,
yeah.
Well, you know, the podcast name Raise Up really is this, it's the namesake is our core values, and Raise Up being responsibility, accountability, integrity, service, engagement, understanding, and perseverance. That's really like at my core, that's who I am. When you unravel the onion, that's the person that deep down I represent, and hopefully on the outside I represent. If it doesn't always appear so, then that's definitely feedback I would want to hear. But I just believe that taking responsibility, especially for your life, like we have to take responsibility for how our life is. How we choose to live, what we're putting in our bodies, what we want and what we don't want. And the accountability piece is more like when you have responsibilities, I say to the team that accountability is how I love you. Like that's how I show my love. But really, if you don't have that contrast, how will you ever really stand up to your responsibility and carry it forward? So I don't think that one has to come with the other. And then the integrity piece is just be true to yourself. If you are not a night person, don't volunteer for a day shift.
Everybody wants to help. Just pick your lane.
Yeah, exactly. And so then Charlie and I, when we get to the service piece, like I feel like that's my flame gets lit when I'm in service, when I'm doing something to help someone else. And that really is where like your bonfire goes when you're at service.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole reason I like EMS and fire and all that other stuff is just, it's a willingness to help. And so, I mean, and the same with, you know, our teams, you know, it's just the same way, you know, we want to help them succeed and do it. It's really, I think, rewarding when you're seeing your teams, I don't know if we mentioned this before, but when they're buying new cars or they got their first house or they're putting their first kid through college, or we had some employees that worked for us that never had PTO, paid time off, and were able to take their kids on vacation and do stuff like that because their jobs required them to stay here and they couldn't afford to lose that time and money. So as we grow, and now that we started 401k this last year, you know, it's just, we want to grow our employees and make sure that they're getting fed too. And by us learning all this stuff and by the gracious, they take care of the businesses while we're gone because we leave on these 2 or 3 week adventures, and we definitely keep in contact with our team, but we're coming back to feed them. After we get back, we come back. Even Steven said something this last time I came back, is, what'd you do to Charlie? He seems so much happier. You know, it's you're gaining knowledge for it because we need that knowledge. We need some stuff. And I always say, I don't need to grow that much more. I'm all right. I'm good. I'm good where I at, you know, but I realize that I probably do need to grow more. I need to figure it out because I don't have all the answers by any means.
Well, and I think that's the E, the engagement piece, is that staying engaged in learning and this growth mindset, just it's like the difference between dying out with the dinosaurs or innovating and moving forward.
No dinosaurs here. Just because I like to watch a little TV and sit in my massage chair. There's no dinosaur.
Hey, I like to sit in the massage chair too.
You do sit in the massage chair. So, are we talking about employees now?
Well, I was just going to finish that the understanding is the understanding and perseverance is the up part. And the understanding is we don't know the answers to everything. And so actually actively seeking understanding from each other, especially our team members, when we're trying to figure out a solution or there's a situation that's occurred, we're just not jumping to conclusions. And that's really the message that we're hopefully sending to the team, is that we are working through understanding, and that's how we operate. And then the perseverance piece of Raise Up is, it's not just put up with a bunch of awful stuff or bad attitudes or just get through it. It's more like step into courage, step into this space of courage that helps you cross over to the bridge of the other side. And I think that that's a great segue into Stephen's perseverance season during COVID. Remember that?
Yes. So Stephen came to us. He really originally worked for a club here in town.
Yep.
Gym. And he was one of the managers, one of the supervisors, and did really well there. And one of our former operations managers knew Stephen from his previous job and said he had a really good prospect to come on board. So here comes Stephen, you know, fit as a fiddle. Guy runs like a gazelle and has these dogs he runs with all the time. And he fit in with our group right away. And he came on as a supervisor, and then we brought him on as a manager. And he's worked the sales department. He's worked the CSAs. He's worked all the different departments. And then
does some relief driving when needed.
Yeah. You know, he became a driver and helped with everything. And he just really had a positive attitude all the time. And he did really well for us. And as he started to go in there, he came into the operations manager, and he has been with us now, I want to say, 4 years, 5 years.
I think he's going on four.
Yeah, 4 years, 4 or 5 years now. Well, it'd be at least four because COVID was 2000, so it's 2024. So he was here before COVID. So it'd be 4 or 5 years, yeah. And just has grown so much in his leadership skills and everything that he's done. And I'll tell you one thing I'll bring up that was really tough for him, and almost a deal breaker, is during COVID, we were really hurting for dispatchers and some other things. And Stephen already had so much knowledge of that. So he was still a manager for us, but he was end up using a lot of his shifts to run dispatch. And when people called in sick, and the poor guy, I think for 3.5, 4 months, he had to be a full-time dispatcher. And I know that's not what he signed on for, but just like the rest of the team members, we kind of have to fill in where we are. I still drive. I haven't drove much lately, but I still wash cars. I empty garbage. I do everything at the shop. And, you know, we don't have anything that one person's too good to do anything. And I think we have to lead by example. So yeah. I'm always one of the first ones to go out and wash cars or plow or get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and help our team. And Stephen has that same mindset. He has done so well for us, and we're just very proud. And, you know, he's becoming a father, and
yep.
And he's just moved in so many different ways. And, you know, Stephen was pretty clammed up when we first met him. He didn't say a whole lot unless you drug it out of him. And now he brings things out and he talks to us. And, you know, just like Stephen and a lot of our other team members, they think we have this wealth of knowledge about things sometimes. So they know that we'll have an answer, but sometimes we don't have the answer for it, but we'll try to figure it out with them and try to help them through it. And Stephen has done the same thing for us. He's helped us figure out issues and problems, and he sees things in a different light sometimes than we do, which he brings it to light and says, hey, you know, he's brought another person up to us and said, hey, I really think this person will do good in the office, when they were DGMs and all this other stuff. And we were kind of like, oh, we never even thought about this person. So he brings a lot to the table. So when I say that, we're trying to bring up how well some of our people have done working with us and working for us. And he is one of the first people that come to mind as we talk. And there's lots of them. Don't get me wrong. There's lots of them. But we interact with him so much that we've seen so much growth.
You know, what I particularly love about his leadership style is he doesn't get rattled very easily.
And if so he does, you better watch out.
No, it's not about watch out. Like, I have never seen him lose it at work, but you can see his face getting a little bit red, and he usually
a little more sterner.
Excuses himself. But yeah, I guess stern would be the
stern
word.
Stern would be the word.
But I just...
Are we done yet?
I haven't seen it very often.
No, only a couple times
but
ever.
But he's just... He gives that example of just stability. And really, that's what you need in your leadership team is somebody who's able to weather through the storm. And when I remember him going through that season during COVID, where he stepped into supporting the dispatch team, and I could see that he was persevering. He was communicating very effectively that this was difficult for him, and he was going to be going through it. But now, when we've talked about that experience, he's grateful for it because it was an opportunity for him to just see so many different aspects of that office that he worked in, especially working on a night shift for a while. And he also, it showed him that it gave the contrast of things were really good, what the opposite could look like, but then it showed him that he could do it. And he could lead with this, like, integrity for the people that were on that shift. And it also showed us that, gosh, this kid's got more grit than we thought he did, you know. And we can give him some of that responsibility as he's, like, grown into it.
You know, one of the things I liked is, as we were getting more dispatchers, more people in, and he was working less and less shifts, he's like, I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. I
mean, yes.
It was just very, like, he couldn't see the light for quite some time just because we were so in the mix of it. And, you know, COVID was such a tough time for so many people, and our business really thrived at that time. And when I say thrived, we were willing to take on some work that a lot of people were not willing to work. And we wanted to make sure that our people were taken care of, you know, and our knee jerk reaction at the very beginning was like, we got to rattle this all in. We might have to lay off some employees. We have to do this. And then I kind of calmed it down. I said, you know what? We're going to take 24 to 48 hours before we do anything, and let's sit on this and see what we can do with it before we just have this knee jerk reaction. And Stephen was kind of the same way. You know, he took it in. He said, I'll do it. I don't want to do it full time, but he just, you know, he took it in, and we kept promising him that we would get some more people on there, and we did. And, you know, he sees it now, and he sees where his life is at and where his hours are. And he gets a lot of time off now, and he gets some paid time off, and he gets to go to Hawaii, and he gets to go to California this year. And he's just exploring all new things, and he's taking more vacation, more times off. And, you know, a couple of years ago, we were not in that position because we were all hands on deck. Not even us were taking off very much.
No, we were driving and handling midnight stuff, and things were going on, especially with COVID.
Yeah.
Like, we were all hands on deck. And, you know, that was important, I think, for you and I to do that, because it showed the team that we were in it with them.
Oh, yeah.
You were not alone. And there was this just energy and vibe of gratitude throughout the company during that whole season, because they saw their friends were getting laid off.
A lot of people were worried.
And we were doing everything we could to keep everybody working.
Hiring more people.
Yeah.
I mean, at one time we were hiring more people than everybody else, and everybody kept saying, how are you guys hiring people? Everybody's laying off. And we were just picking up that work and partnering with people and doing the stuff. And
keeping people busy no matter what we could, what we could do. And yes, it. And so I'm grateful for that season within our organization, because it solidified that raise up perspective that we are constantly outcasting to the rest of the team, that we're in this together.
Well, and it showed through a major pandemic that we can pull through it. I mean, a lot of people just couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel, and they were so set on, this is the way we do business. If we can't do it this way, we're not going to do it. And, we had the total opposites. Like, what can we do to get through this until we can get back to normal? You know, what is our survival skills? And, you know, I think Athena and I, with our backgrounds of kids and everything else, we were always in constant survival of what are we going to do to survive? And failure was never an option. So we persevered through it. And it wasn't just us. It was our team that pushed it behind us. If it wasn't for our team, we wouldn't be anywhere we're at now. It was just, we were the rudder in the back, just trying to steer the ship.
You know, and that was a moment, I remember that moment when you and I were just kind of like, what are we going to do? We're listening to some of our comrades who are in the industry, and we saw what they were doing. And when you stepped in and were like, we're just going to wait. We're going to just sleep on this tonight. We're not going to make any decisions today. And I'm the gut, the go with your gut girl. So there's a lot of gut decisions that I make, and I make decisions kind of quickly. But if I feel solid within myself, I trust myself to make that decision. But I also am grateful for the moments where Charlie's like, we're just going to sleep on this tonight. And when we were younger, I didn't appreciate that perspective so much. But now I see the value. And I do think sometimes we can just make some easy decisions. But in the moments where you're like, we need to wait.
We do. We make a lot of easy decisions when I make them. No, you're right. I mean, and that's maturity. That's time with businesses. That's time with ourselves to get comfortable what's going on. I mean, there's not a lot of, we can't do this, we can do that. It's more like, how can we make that work?
Yeah.
More togetherness on what our decisions are going to be.
And with every stage of the growth of our different businesses, one of the things that I have constantly thought to myself is, okay, this is where we're at now. What new capabilities do we need to gain in order to maintain this? Because I don't know if you've ever heard this phrase before, but what gets you to the promised land won't necessarily keep you there.
Well, I have another one. It's like everybody starts off with an A and then you just kind of go downhill from there. You stay at the A. You know, I mean, when you walk in the first day at school, everybody has an A. You know, it's just a matter of how your first test is. If you get a C, then all of a sudden you're down to a B. You know, you have to continually keep your game up to persevere through different areas. I mean, it's just because you get the contract doesn't mean that you just slop off in the contract. You have to keep that contract up if you want to keep it. You know, we work so hard to get somewhere, and then all of a sudden we just think it's a given, and it's not given every day. Just like life is not given every day. Yeah. If you're not living your fullest life every day, you're losing a day. I mean, it's crazy. You know, I mean, how many people we've known that have passed in the last 4 or 5 years? Yeah. That it's just incredibly, and you know, and we're not old per se, but we're older. And so we have to take advantage of more of what we have now than what we do later, because tomorrow is never given.
You know, and I think that's even more of a reason why you just show up and you be real, instead of like putting on a mask to go to work and putting on a mask to, you know, hang out with this group of people. It's like, just be in your own integrity and just show up as you are. And for the people that are meant to be around you and that honor you and encourage you and all of that to be who you are, those are your people that you want to spend the most time with. And if you're just yourself around others, you're going to weed out the people that you probably don't want to hang out with anyway. So it's, that's probably getting comfortable in your own skin is one of the greatest spaces that you can walk towards in your life.
Wow. If most people know me, I pretty much speak my mind, and I'm not really big hidden person about it. And, you know, maybe if it's a new crowd, I won't speak 100% of my mind, but I'll speak 80% of it. But it's, I've always thought you should be who you are, you know, and you should not try to fake it until you make it. You should try to just be who you are, and either people are going to like you or they're not, or they're going to love you or they're not. You know, it's just one of those things. But if you're always true to who you are, then everybody knows what they expect.
Yeah. You know, it reminds me of this, like, you remember when we moved to the yellow house in Chugiak?
Yep.
And I told one of our friends lived out there, and I'm like, we're going to have a cookie exchange because it was Christmas. And I'm like, let's put flyers on everybody's door in the neighborhood. And she's like, everybody? Do we really want everybody to come over? I'm like, heck yeah. Because I want to know who I want to be friends with and who I don't want to be friends with at the same time. And she's like, okay, that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. I thought she was kind of crazy on that one too. But I was like, all right, well, let's do it.
Well,
everybody always wanted to come see the yellow house. The yellow house was such an iconic house in that neighborhood. It was just the color and the big fence and the big yard.
It was a very beautiful house.
Yes.
Yes, it was. Well, you know, circling back to Stephen and his story of just raising up within the organization, it's a message of like, that's really how we operate at BAC. If there is potential, if you have a desire, if there's something that you've always been interested in that's not in the line of work that you're currently doing for us, like, we listen to that. We honor that. that's something that we can see what we can do with, and maybe we can start to funnel you towards an area that kind of fans the flame of that personal interest. But we're really
about
that.
We look for it too. If we see somebody is not being all they can be in that position, we retool it and look at it and say, you know, this person might be great up in HR. This person might be good up in accounting, or this person might be good in inputting stuff, or, you know, this person's really an outdoor person. Maybe they should be a DGM, you know? So we look for those opportunities for other people. And sometimes people applied for a position that was open and available at the time, but it's not really the one they wanted, but then they get in within the company and they can transfer within. So that makes it nice, you know, and having 200 plus employees now and being pretty close to 300 this summer, it gives them lots of different room to do it. And we look for all those people so we can have more time off. I want more time off.
Well, I don't feel like, I always feel like this is like our lifestyle. It's we do a little bit of work every day, but it's just consistently done throughout the week. And it's something that it's just what we do. But having that raise up mindset of raising up our team members, raising up our community, and raising up our industry, like that's really this whole raise up piece. And I like to say that we happen to be getting people and things from point A to point B, but really what we're doing is we're connecting with others and we're helping to grow the community around us.
Kind of like a logistics company that does transportation and a bunch of other things too. I mean, we kind of dabble in a lot of different small things.
Yeah. And really when somebody asks me what we do, I just tell them we are in passenger transportation logistics.
Yep.
So we're really grateful that you guys joined us for this episode.
Again.
Yes.
Let us know your comments. Let us know what you think.
Yes. And we're going to be sharing with you some information about the airport business in the next episode. So please join us then and see you soon.
Awesome. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.